At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome back to That's Politics, where I break down the political news you've heard about to its bare bones. I'm your host, Mackenzie Atkinson, and I have Amanda Allen, the director of the Jackson County Board of Elections, here to talk about election security. Hi, Amanda. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Mackenzie.
Of course. To start off, can you give me a quick rundown of what the responsibilities of your position are and what your day-to-day work life looks like?
Sure. So in North Carolina, every county has a board of elections that includes a 5-person board, and then there are office staff and a director. So in serving as the director, I have a lot of elections responsibilities delegated to me, particularly the election administration duties that are non-quasi-judicial. So day-to-day office running, but also things like list maintenance, preparing for elections, making sure our voting sites are ready, getting all the materials ready, those kinds of things. And I coordinate and am kind of the conduit between the State Board of Elections and our local Board of Elections, who do the meetings, certify results, and would do any quasi-judicial duties, like if we had challenges, protests, those kinds of things.
Okay, so election time is your busiest time, obviously. What do you guys do when it's not election season?
Well, we certainly spend time catching our breath. The last year or so has been pretty much back-to-back elections or election-related events like recounts, those kinds of things. So there's a little bit of that catching your breath. You finally have a chance for your staff to take a vacation, have a little bit of rest. But also, we have day-to-day responsibilities to maintain the integrity of our voting systems. So this is the time when we do some of our after actions, what worked, what didn't, try to do some process improvement. We're also constantly doing list maintenance to ensure our voter rolls are as accurate as possible. We still have people registering to vote. We still have people who move in and out that we need to make sure that their records are correct. We work on our record retention so we can file away the things that we just did, but also we might have to review some things that are ready for destruction. But it's really a lot of looking back at what we just did, trying to find ways that we can make adjustments, and then getting ready to plan. It's March, but we're already planning for the municipal elections in November. So already kind of getting those balls rolling.
People tend to question the integrity of elections. What processes does the Board of Elections have in place to ensure security of votes? That's a very loaded question. Do you want to take it piece by piece?
Sure. I mean, we can start by talking about list maintenance. That is something that the State Board does have very specific guidelines about how we do list maintenance in North Carolina. Every state is different, but we do have list maintenance processes that are dictated by the state and then implemented by your local offices. So some of those things are, you know, at the very least, just making sure that when new registrations come in, we process them. If we get any cancellations in the mail, we take care of those things. So those are kind of your immediate voter activated list maintenance. But we also have a lot of reports that are available on our regular schedule where we utilize tools from the State Board and our partner agencies like the DMV, the Post Office, Health and Human Services, Department of Adult Corrections, where they provide information that helps us update our rolls. So for example, DHHS provides information about people who have passed away. So we can go in, verify if any of our voters have passed away, we can remove them. We also do similar processes for people who may have moved, who may have registered in another county or another state and they need to cancel their local registration. Also for people who have been convicted of felonies or who have completed felony sentences and are now eligible to re-register. It's a lot of data that we are continuously touching and trying to update on a regular schedule.
In North Carolina, there are 100 counties, and each county uses, well, not necessarily each county, but they use different ways to vote. How does Jackson County vote? What machines do they use?
So we utilize a ballot marking device called an express vote. So this is a machine that has our ballots loaded onto them. We look up a voter by their precinct. If it's primary, we would look up by their precinct and by their party that they're affiliated with. And it displays the ballot on a screen. You're able to touch and make your selections. Then it thermal prints a card that you can see your selections. And then those cards are placed into what is called a DS-200, and that's our tabulator. So that is scanning all of the ballots. And then when polls close, we can close that, utilize the storage device in it, and upload those results. So we primarily are electronic voting. We do have paper ballots available. That's what's sent out for absentee voters. If you have to vote provisionally, you utilize a paper ballot, or you're able to request one if you want to do that. Other counties use different equipment. Some counties are still very paper-based. It varies.
Now, how do you guys ensure the security of the Express Vote and the DS-200 tabulators?
So there's a number of things there. First of all electronic voting systems, all voting systems, voting equipment have to be certified. They have to meet certain criteria, and there are very specific criteria put forth by the state and some federal regulations as well. So first of all, we just don't buy equipment that we just find that's the cheapest. It has to be certified, approved equipment. We maintain that equipment, so we actually have annual maintenance done on our equipment to ensure that they're working properly, that everything is looking good, working right. And then we also do logic and accuracy testing before every election. So we actually run through with every tabulator, every express vote, testing it, making sure that the screens are working, that the accessibility features are working, that the tabulator is working, all of those things. So that's kind of the front piece, is making sure you have good equipment that is well-maintained, that is secure. We also keep it in a secure location, so it is not just sitting in our office. We keep it in a secure place where only certain staff can get to it and are only able to use it. But also, all of our poll workers are trained. They are not allowed on the machines without training, so they know what they are doing. There's very specific guidelines about how they are to interact with the equipment, and a very clear chain of custody of who has taken it to a facility, who has unpacked it, who has unsealed it, who sealed it back at the end of the night, those kinds of things. So there's a paper trail for everything to ensure that they are safe and secure.
So can you talk to me a little bit about what the security measures that are put in place at the polling locations specifically?
Okay, in what way?
There are poll workers there. What are their roles in maintaining the security? And I know you guys have like judges, like partisan judges there as well.
Okay, so we do have different kind of duties at our polling places. Every polling place will have a chief judge, and then there will be partisan judges. Those are kind of your leaders of your precinct. They're generally more seasoned. They have worked their way up, have a couple elections under their belts. So they are very well versed in how the equipment has to be utilized, what you can do, what you can't do. But all of our workers receive extensive training, materials, that kind of information. They all know what to do and not to do. But generally, our positions are those three judges, and then we also have kind of just a generic assistant position. So these might be the people that are helping you at check-in. So you might see them on a laptop looking up our voters, printing out their applications to vote, doing any updates that they might need to during early voting. We also have people who are trained to specifically sit and help with the help desk. So that might be in the event that someone needs to vote provisionally, they have a question, we're having a little bit more hands-on work with a voter. And then you have people that will help take voters to, they will get their ballots and take them to the machines. They're going to explain how to utilize the voting equipment. And all of these folks are always available to ask questions. If a voter needs help, we see that a lot on the machines, that they might poke their head around the enclosure. these staff are really well trained into how to help them in a way that is helpful, but is also fair, impartial, and secure.
How do you guys keep track of who has or hasn't voted yet?
We utilize electronic poll books. So during early voting, if you go to check in, that will have an electronic poll book in our voting system. And our poll workers are able to look up someone, and it actually shows if they have voted or not voted. And that information is also uploaded by the state every day during early voting. So we know what's going on, but that it's instant. So you look at that information, you check someone in, verify their information, have them sign their application to vote, and then you actually click a button that says vote. And so if you were to look them up again, it would show that they have voted. Another thing is, if you go in North Carolina, if you go to vote on election day, you will see at your precinct, there will be a printed list of everyone from your precinct who voted early. So that's another control that we have, is before election day, we actually run a report. We're able to print that, and we provide that to all of the precincts. So you can go see who has early voted. And that's another protection.
I didn't even know that was a provision that you guys had.
Yeah.
Is that
it's a little bit old school, having some paper? Yeah.
Is that new, or has that just always been a thing?
As long as I've been involved in elections, so about 6 or so years, we've always done that.
Okay, that's interesting.
We actually also have a backup paper poll book, so that if they were to lose power, lose connectivity, they would have a paper poll book at their precinct to be able to flip through, and it would indicate who had already early voted.
North Carolina requires that all voters have a photo ID when they go to vote. What are some of the requirements for these IDs to be valid for election purposes?
There is a very specific list of types of photo IDs that are acceptable to use as voter photo ID. And those are updated regularly by the state. Your basic photo IDs, like a driver's license, North Carolina driver's license, a North Carolina non-operator's license, so like an ID that you get from the DMV, but not a driver's license. The photo IDs that we're able to make at the Board of Elections, those are all acceptable. Military cards as well. But also government agencies like county employers, colleges, community colleges, they are able to apply to have their IDs acceptable. So that list is updated election to election, because some folks may meet their requirements. They might not apply, back and forth. We're really lucky in our community that Western Carolina University and Southwestern Community College's IDs are acceptable. So that's really great that they took the time to make sure their IDs are compliant and fill out the application to be approved by the state. It is important to note that we do ask all voters to present a photo ID, but we do have exception processes for folks who might not be able to provide one. So we do have some alternative options for them. One of the options on the exception form is that you are a victim of a natural disaster within, I think, 100 days. So that was an option that we didn't think we were ever going to have to use, but we did. I'm not sure that many or anyone in Jackson County utilized it, but I'm certain in other communities that were more directly impacted and highly affected by Helene, you would see that. And that was a viable option to be able to select that, to say, you know, I'm trying to comply, but for reasons completely out of my control, I cannot provide you this ID right now.
How does the Board of Elections ensure that counts are correct throughout the process of canvass?
So we do a number of audits. We're checking our numbers constantly. So during early voting, we are having our precinct workers fill out information about verifying that all of our numbers are matching. So making sure we have the right number of forms to the right number on the tabulator, that kind of thing. So we're always kind of checking that, keeping up to date with it. Also, the board meets regularly throughout early voting to have absentee meetings. That's another opportunity to kind of do things a little bit piecemeal, so that you're making sure that you're on track processing those absentee ballots that come in through the mail. And then we run a number of audits after the election. So we have a number of things that we're checking, trying to make sure that everything balances. We also receive some audits from the state that have some additional information that help us know if there are potentially any ballots that might need to be challenged, that might need to be looked at a little bit more closely. And we are just constantly verifying. We're checking. We also do a sample hand-to-eye audit, which is another really good security measure. The state board goes through a process where they randomly select a contest and then they randomly select two precincts, and we pull those ballots and actually hand tally those to make sure that our results match what was on the tabulators. So there's a lot of checks and balances. It isn't just kind of a one and done. We submit our results and they just automatically sign off on it. There's a lot of back and forth in those 10 days to make sure that we are checking our work.
What happens if there's a contest of the election results?
Yeah, so it would really depend on what was going on. Again, this is something that the state board has outlined. They do have a policies and procedures kind of thing for protests, challenges, those sorts of things. What we're going through right now was a protest that came in. There was also a call for a recount and then a call for a second recount. So it really just depends on what the concern is, how widespread the concern is, and what it entails. But it can, as we're seeing, you know, go a long way. For this particular protest that we're going through, we did some county-based protests. We addressed those with evidentiary hearings. We went through that whole process. But additionally, statewide, you saw that there are protests at the state board level. And then also there was a full machine recount called for all counties and then a sample hand recount for all counties. So it really depends. And we're really lucky that our state board provides us a lot of guidance and helps us through that process. But that's another one of those pieces that elections aren't just on election day. There can be action that continues for quite a while to make sure that you're getting correct, accurate results.
Now, transparency is a really big piece to the whole machine. How does the Jackson County Board of Elections maintain that transparency during elections?
I think we're a really open department. Of course, all of our board meetings are public meetings. And those are open to anyone. They are available for anyone to come to. But also, we really welcome questions. We want people to give us a call to say, hey, how does such and such work? We try to share as much proactive information as we can. And we invite people to come ask questions and let us show you what it is that you're concerned about. We can talk about processes. We can talk about equipment. A lot of our processes are also open to the public. So like our sample hand-to-eye count, our recounts, those were open to the public. You know, we do have some security measures to make sure that people aren't getting too close or too involved. During some things, you know, we have to keep conversation to a minimum, that those kinds of protections. But we invite people to be in the room, see what's going on, and be engaged, because there's always stuff going on here.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for giving us a breakdown of election security.
Absolutely. So glad to have been a part of this.
Thank you for tuning in this week to That's Politics, where Amanda Allen gave us a breakdown of the election security in North Carolina. For more information about election security, check out the North Carolina State Board of Elections website, and you can also reach out to your local Board of Elections, like Amanda told us. Tune in next week, where I'll break down the importance of political reporting. I'm your host, Mackenzie Atkinson, and I'll see you next time.